Malcolm Noonan, your party leader is stepping down. He's moving on. He said it was nothing to do with the elections results in the local elections and the European elections. But would it be fair to say, as the speculation mounted about the timing of a general election and he felt he needed to hand over the baton of leadership before that, that he sensed this government may not go the distance?
No, that's not the case. And first of all, I just want to pay tribute to my friend and colleague, Eamon Ryan, for 13 years of really selfless leadership of the party. I stood against him back in 2011, and a relief that I didn't beat him, because I saw the work that he put in over that time. We were down to nothing. We had literally been wiped out. I think it was only three councillors left in the country at that time. And as Neil Young says, once you're gone, you can't come back. But we did. And, you know, I think that rebuilding of the party over that time was under his leadership. But I think he felt quite a while ago that he had taken it as far as he could. He felt it was time to I won't say reboot, but actually just have a bigger look at the party and to have a preparedness in terms of a general election. So whether the election is in October, as all the speculation is, or it happens in 2025, we want to be in a state where we can contest that election, win as many seats as we can, and be as we always have done.
The timing of his announcement was partially informed by the potential of an election happening in the autumn.
No, not at all. It was very much for personal reasons, and that was outlined in his statement when he announced his stepping back. As I said, he's wanted to do this for quite a while. I think he feels that he's done as much as he can do. We want to be in a place where we can contest the election in a competitive way and be in a position to have enough TDs returned to go back and negotiate a programme for government again. We've always been a party of responsibility, a party who wants to implement its policies, and we want to do that again after the next general election.
All right. Duncan Smith, the Green Party, obviously in coalition with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. There's perhaps some grounds for optimism from your own party's point of view in terms of the transfers that might be accrued between Green Party, yourselves, Social Democrats and other parties on the left of centre for the next general election. So is there any particular view you'd have of the Green Party leadership or any of the personalities involved that would be more conducive to that?
I've been marking Eamon Ryan, I suppose, as a transport spokesperson for the Labour Party for the last 4 years, and just want to pay tribute to him. He's done a remarkable job as Green Party leader. I think the history books will acknowledge just the truly Herculean efforts he made to bring the Green Party back to being not only a party of government, but a party of relevance in Irish politics. And he's a politician who's had to ship an unfair amount of personal abuse over the last number of years, which I think has been absolutely toxic, totally unwarranted and totally unfair. So I just want to wish him all the best. I think to answer your question, I think there's always been good transfers between Labour Party and the Green Party, irrespective of who's leader of either party. I think because both parties share shared positions. Positions and indeed outlooks and perspectives on some important issues. So whether it's Deputy Roderick O'Gorman or Senator Pippa Hackett, or Minister Roderick O'Gorman or Senator Pippa Hackett, I don't think that would, I wouldn't have any preference.
You don't
when
have
it comes
a preference
to,
either.
Well, I have a bias and I would be friends with Roderick O'Gorman. We would have been in DCU right. Together and I'm thinking of County Council together. So I'd wish Roderick O'Gorman the very best in this, but it's not.
You don't have any view of the urban-rural debate? Or
I think that's overplayed. I think an awful lot of I would see myself as holding, let's say, Eamon Ryan to account on issues such as industrial relations and aviation over the last number of years. But some of the invectitude that comes across the Dáil floor to the Green Party from, let's say, the rural independents, I think is unfair. I think it's inaccurate and plays up to a rural-urban divide that I don't think benefits anyone in this country when it comes to tackling climate or anything like that.
You're speaking with the luxury of someone who has a sizeable agricultural concern in your own constituency and also a sizable urban population. You bridge that urban-rural divide yourself. Do you think it'd be a future party leadership contender yourself. Well, in your my, at some point
the,
in the future.
The constituency boundary now has taken, I think I have about three fields left in Dublin Fingal East with the new boundary constituency. But no, I mean, the issues of climate and environmentalism aren't just rural issues, or aren't just urban issues, aren't just Irish issues, they're global issues, and we need to be tackling them robustly together. And I think just boiling this down to a rural candidate versus an urban candidate, I think does a disservice not only to the Green Party, but also to the wider issues.
All right, Marion Harkin, some of the ire that's been directed at the Green Party, which was acknowledged in Eamon Ryan's own remarks on announcing that he was stepping down, that the Greens don't get rural Ireland, or that somehow pursuing their policies would be inimical to the interests of rural Ireland. What did you make of that rhetoric?
Well, look, first of all, at a personal level, can I wish Eamon well? I think he's a decent man. I think he, you know, his ideology, you can see it very clearly. I suppose my issue with Eamon and with the Greens in general is how you translate what is generally good, broad principles as far as their ideology is concerned into policy, into something that works, whether it's rural or urban Ireland. And, you know, it's the Greens are just, you know, their numbers, their number of representatives across the EU, that's falling as well. So it's not just Ireland. So you have to ask yourself the question, what is happening here? I mean, most people recognise the impact of climate change and that we need to take actions to deal with it. But we also recognise that the actions we take have to link to people on the ground, to their lives, whether they're a farmer or somebody living in the middle of Dublin City. And that hasn't happened. That disconnect is there. Yes, sometimes it's overplayed. And yes, sometimes there have been horrible, horrible things said that nobody could stand over. But it is there. And until that gap is bridged, then I think that the Greens have real issues about connecting with people. And I mean, I can give you examples. We perhaps have a few minutes to come to it. Well, that's the issue.
Yeah, but even if you look at an issue where if there are targets to be met on nitrates, for example, as it relates to water quality, are the Greens just outlining the reality, the unpalatable reality that people don't want to hear, that other politicians have less courage to tell people?
Look, the reality is the reality, but it's how you then work to mitigate against what the concerns are. Take, for example, water quality. I've looked at the map, and the problem, one of the problems is that Leitrim, for example, is in a red area, the same as other parts of the country. And then you ask, how is this happening when there isn't intensive farming in Leitrim? And that's one example. But I suppose the most recent one, Colm, and the one that's in most people's minds, is the Nature Restoration Law. There's some really good aspects to that. But despite that, you know, we haven't European funding, and that law is not nuanced in any way to deal with Irish conditions, with issues around land eligibility. And what's we're talking here about 20% of the land
mass. I just want to get a very brief response to Malcolm doing that, because we do have to take a short break and come back on a related but separate issue. Malcolm Noonan, your response to
that. Yeah, again, just to respond to Marion, and again, I agree with Duncan. I think the rural-urban thing is way overplayed. And I think, you know, rural Ireland is a very diverse, very different place than it was 20, 30 years ago, specifically on the nature restoration law.
But it's defining the leadership contest in your party, because one person is pitching themselves as the rural candidate, and the other as the sort of universal candidate.
We're looking forward to a really good debate within the party about all of that. But I think we need to be broad in our appeal, and I think generally we have a good news story to tell in terms of rural public transport, in terms of retrofitting homes. All of that is making a positive impact on people's lives. Similarly with the Nature Restoration Law, we've been reassured, landowners in particular, that this is going to be voluntary and all of the measures will be put in through a plan that we will work on together.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a short break, because we do want to come back and have a look at that other issue that Eamon Ryan mentioned as he was stepping down, and that's the impact of vitriol on people in public life.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.